joy of Easter. May the Spirit be with you today as ever. I have a sad story about a couple. He was a beach bum. And one day he decided he didn't want to be that. And 10 years later, he and his young bride had a chain of restaurants. Oh, two or three. And then a bar opened at the airport, and they had the bar. They kept expanding. They were a young success story. And they had two children. Pretty soon, he was working one of the restaurants during the day, and she the other. One was at one end of the island, one was at the other end of the island. And at night, they'd probably get home real tired, have a few words, but you know I've got to get up at 6 a.m. and get back and see that everything is right down that end, and I've got to get over at this end. They didn't have much time for the kids or each other. And they were very much in love. And then the kids grew up, and they kept expanding. They took over another restaurant. It wasn't enough. Always more. Now they had to select a school. And so they had to make a decision about where to send these children. It couldn't be on the island where they lived because, well, there were a lot of reasons. They had a racial problem they felt. They felt that, this contractor down the road, he sent his children over to the Big Island. And, you know, they had to keep up with their new friends. It cost $9,000 a year to send a 14-year-old girl to pre-high school. $9,000 a year. I don't know if the education was any better than our public schools, but you could say, my girl goes to that school. And then, just this last Christmas, the girl was driving home with a boyfriend. They missed a turn. The car crashed. The girl was gone. Completely wiped out. Gone. The couple still has their restaurants. There's one thing they don't have that they wanted. That's that girl. I can't describe it to you. She was what every mother would want a girl to be. Sweet, wonderful, dear, thoughtful, pretty. A lovely girl. The couple had no time for the family or each other. They were living with price tags. I bought this at that store. I bought this house for that money. I send my child to this school and it costs so much. And of course that was the equal of that wealthy couple over there and that wealthy contractor down there. Their friends had upgraded to a new kind of person who was also interested in price tags. They didn't have their girl. And they would have given everything they owned to have that girl. But it was too late. I know many of us do this. Many of us don't have this tragedy. But they had it. They had forgotten that man lives not by bread alone. It just never caught up to them that they were living without divine guidance, without the Word. And that word that they were living without was the difference between having their daughter and not having their daughter. It is necessary to recognize that there is one perfect mind. One. Only one. No second. And that's your fourth principle. Use another mind. Use a satellite mind. Use a human mind. Use a mortal mind. Use that thinking capacity that lies within the brain, and you are not using the one perfect mind. And you're living in a state of peril. Because only the one perfect mind knows the one perfect purpose and can fulfill the one perfect purpose. You cannot go off into your own mind and expect to fulfill a divine purpose. It is strange, but many brilliant minds, in fact, some of our most brilliant thinkers, seem to have tragic lives. Not necessarily a truism, but if you look around at the great thinkers of all time, you will notice that their lives were not completely happy. Nor did they know what was missing. They were geniuses. And not always living by the divine word. The human mind strays. It strays off into a million detours, into a thousand illusions. And it always is so self-righteous about what it does. But every human mind, without exception, eats of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Every human mind can go left or right. Every human mind is double-minded. It sees the opposites. It knows the opposites. It reacts to the opposites. And while it's a captive of the opposites, it lives in alternating fear and joy, sorrow, fulfillment, victory, failure. It is glued in to living the ups and downs of human life. The student of spirit knows that to live in a human mind is tantamount to suicide. Where can a human mind go? At the end of the trail, it discovers it has traded its soul. Everything it wanted, it may have received, and that wasn't enough. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The one mind that governs the spiritual universe is the mind that created the spiritual universe. In spirit, you learn that you have access to the mind of God. You don't have to be a captive of that mind which can make error in decisions, or that mind which is capable of false judgments, or that mind which ultimately corrodes. You have the mind of God. If you're not letting it come through, and you're living in the human mind, you're not receiving the hidden manna. The mind of God in you is the way God runs the universe of spirit. That's the miracle that is ever present with us. That mind knows reality. That mind knows perfection. That mind knows the past, the present, and the future. That mind sees eternity. That mind lives in the invisible. There is nothing that exists in the universe of God that is unknown to that mind. And nothing outside the universe of God is known to that mind because nothing else exists. That mind in you is the only savior you need. That mind in you speaks to you whenever Jesus opens his mouth. That mind speaks to the world of Asia when Buddha opens his mouth. That mind speaks to the people of the universe through those who have discovered the Christ mind within themselves. That mind is omniscient, and only that mind. That mind alone can deliver to you and deliver you to the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven. Your omniscient mind is not apart from you. It's within your soul, and your soul is within it. It is your link to creation. Can you think of one good reason why, knowing this, you should live in a second mind that has no existence when the one perfect mind is all that does exist? The human mind is an imitation mind, as the human body is an imitation body, and as the human life is an imitation life. We live in that circle of imitation, unaware that we are living outside reality. But awakened, no longer asleep to the divine mind within us, we open our soul to it alone, for it can never be hypnotized. It does not live in a world of illusion. It knows the narrow path that we have been seeking. It lights a lamp under your feet. That mind that was in Christ Jesus is the same mind that is in you. Your surrender to that mind is the way you lose your life to gain your life. You lay down your imitation sense of life, which comes from the second mind that has no existence, and you at first stumble. You don't hear it. You don't feel it. Where is it? But yet, it's all around you. Where can it go? It is infinite. You have this infinite divine mind of God waiting to guide you to live in any other mind. It's pointless. And so you listen. You want to surrender to it. You don't know how. But Spirit provides a way for you. It says, here's how. Be still. Be still. You can do that. Oh, but I want to think. There are a lot of plans I have. Be still anyway. You can carry out your plans a little later. This moment, be still. Let the divine mind do your thinking. With your human mind, you're going to make error. The divine mind won't do that. That'll save you a lot of time. You're going to make judgments that are false. The divine mind will save you that. You're going to make decisions that are half true and half untrue. The divine mind will save you that. Finally, you get the idea. Don't go to the lower courts, go to the Supreme Court. Right up to the top. Get the decision from the highest court. Your own divine mind. Nothing goes above that. Nothing. It knows precisely what you should be doing every minute of every day. Furthermore, it does it. And you go along for the ride. You may not like that at first. You like this self-initiative, this self-control. But after a few crack-ups, you don't like it as much. Man has a way of cracking up. It just seems to be inevitable. Somewhere along the line, he cracks up. He looks at himself and he says, I wonder how that happened. It was all set up. It was perfect. It was a wonderful plan. What went wrong? And he can go wrong while he's at the peak of his power. The only thing that goes wrong is that he relies on a mind that is not his mind, and he is deceived into thinking it is. And so Judas delivers him to the Romans. Judas wears a beautiful face, real concerned about you. And then that same mind that deceives you commits suicide. It cannot even sustain itself, but it wants to sustain you. Every human mind dies, no exception. What does a human mind know about eternal life? Why, it laughs at it. Who said there's any such thing as eternal life, says the human mind. Take what you can get and run. I am the bread of life, says the master within. And he who follows me will receive eternal life. No human mind says that. No human mind can deliver that. But the one mind, the one perfect and only mind, not only thinks, it does. It delivers. It is backed by divine power. That mind is omnipotent. That omnipresent, omnipotent mind is omniscient. That mind is your hope of glory. That mind says to any germ in the universe, you're wasting your time. You don't even have a life of your own, only a borrowed life. Your borrowed life comes from the mind that is not. What animates a germ? The divine mind or the human mind? And when you're out of the human mind, you're out of the germ. What conquers death? The human mind? Maybe for a week or a month or a year, but always temporary. It delays death, perhaps. What conquers death? The divine mind doesn't even conquer death. It simply didn't create it. It isn't there. Where the world sees death, the divine mind sees life. One sees the illusion, one sees the reality. And so, if there's a responsive chord in you, you're saying, we want that mind. The mind that was in Christ Jesus. We want the one divine perfect mind. Well, you have it. You didn't even have to ask for it. You've always had it. And now, to thine own self be true. Let that mind transcend the human illusion. Let that mind take you out of the mortal dream. It knows the way. Start to live from that level of a mind that can make no error. Trust it. Of a mind that lives in eternity. Of a mind that is not examining every speck in the road, but a mind that is infinite. If everyone in this universe knew they had access to the mind of God, that the mind of God is planted within their soul, waiting for the surrender of the human mind, the second mind, the imitation mind, we would find a lifting of the hypnosis of the world. There would be no good and evil. There would be no failure. There would be no sorrow. There would be no death. There would only be that which is in the creation of God. And each of us has that ordination from God to live in that spiritual creation which is perfect as the Father. And the mind of God to light the way. It was not for idle chatter that you were told to be perfect, because you have the perfect mind. Now we must learn when we are letting it use us and when we are trying to take the ball away. It should be quite clear that that mind will not be greedy. It should be quite clear that that mind will not commit adultery. It should be quite clear that that mind is obeying the Ten Commandments. That that mind is loving its neighbor. That that mind not only loves God, but is God. That that mind doesn't even need Bible instruction. It wrote the Bible. That's your mind. That really is your mind. And therefore, out of the Bible, I say unto you. Your divine mind says unto you every word of the Bible. But when you're not thinking in that direction, you think of it as an outside. Samuel wrote this. First Kings said that. Chronicles, etc. Paul said this to the Ephesians. That isn't what happened at all. I, in the midst of you, wrote the Bible. And I am the divine mind. And I use these forms as the instruments through which to speak to you. Turn to any page you want. I am speaking to you. And I am in the midst of you. And I am your divine mind saying to your human mind, get out of the way. Get out of the way and let me come through. I am the source, the father of all. That's what your Bible is saying every minute. And where do you get the real bread of life? I tell you in the Bible where you get the real bread of life. I am the bread of life. The bread of life is he who comes down from heaven to give his life to his people. The divine mind gives its life to you. If you don't reach out and say, give me that life, let me live it. Live it for me. Then eternal life just stands waiting for something in you to ignite. But the life that God gives you is the God life, the eternal God life. And that is the bread of life. You are not the mortal creature. You are not the flesh. You are the eternal life. And only your eternal mind knows this. And so we're moving up, ascending. To that mind, which is the mind of the spiritual universe. And when you are living in that mind, and Mary is living in that mind, and John is living in that mind. And you're all living in that mind. Where's there a war? Is that mind going to lead this one to war against that one? Is that mind going to permit a disease to run rampant through its children? What are all the problems of the world but the absence of that mind in us? Our inability to appreciate its presence. We're living with the absence of God when we can be living with the presence of God. Now, I know we're not going to be living with the absence, but we're here to educate the world around us too, not just ourselves. Your inner transformation is the beginning of a world transformation. You're transforming your future grandchildren. Before they appear. We are leading the human race to itself. And therefore we must live that out ourselves. We must provide a living example what it means to live in the Christ mind, guided by the divine, in the divine ways, living not by human ingenuity, human hit and miss methods, not by winner take all. And we must have the courage to abandon the human approach to life, which says, if I can get there first, it's your problem what happens next. We must have the courage to know that we don't have to compete, that we are in the one mind which delivers infinity to each individual, not a section of it. We must have the wisdom to know that the one mind fulfills every need. We must have the patience not to say to the one mind, hurry, the mortgage is due this week. We must have the confidence that the one mind provides every need with a basket of food to spare. And we can have that confidence, provided we have accepted and have experienced that one mind in ourselves. You need the experience. Unfortunately, there's always someone sitting next to you who has had the experience if you haven't, and you can exchange. You can learn. You can borrow thoughts. Your experiences come, and when they come, they are not one-time experiences. Once God comes into your life on a Tuesday, God is never going to go out of your life. You can count on the experience of God on Tuesday to be there forever. And it was there before Tuesday. It's just that at that moment you became aware of it for the first time. But once you have the God experience and know it is true, from that moment on, you can relax in the knowledge that the grace of the presence of God, though invisible, is ever with you. I don't care if your teeth are falling out. The grace of the presence of God is ever with you, no matter what. Because God cannot go away, and God cannot stop loving you. Can God stop loving God? Do you see how close to home we are? Now we should have this assurance. I don't care if I'm here. If I move over there, God isn't going away from there either. And if I move over to Asia, and nobody seems to like this type of person that I am, I'm not going to worry about it. And if I move over to Africa, God's going to be there. Why is there unrest in Africa? Why is there unrest anywhere? The unawareness of the presence of God. In some places, the illusion is stronger that God is absent. But there's something funny about the omniscient mind. It never saw a white man in its life, and it never saw a black man. It never saw either a white man or a black man. It never saw an Asian or an American. All it has seen is its spiritual son, which is universal. And if you're seeing something that God hasn't seen, you're looking out of human eyes. You're looking out of a human mind. We have to think from the level of the omniscient mind by letting it think through us. We have to catch ourselves. Whenever we find we have said to it, wait a minute, I've got this thought. The omniscient mind is always thinking harmony. It's always thinking joy. It's always thinking life. It's always thinking peace. The omniscient mind never goes to war. It is never sad. It never lacks. It always has 12 baskets full. When you say, I am lacking, you're letting a human mind talk. And it's a human mind that cannot see the abundance that surrounds it. A human mind is blind. It does not see God face to face, but your divine mind sees only God face to face. Now, we must build our awareness of the creation of God, and you cannot build it with a human mind. Surrender, if you can, your thoughts. Now, nobody's going to accuse you of being unintelligent. Nobody's going to say your mind's a blank. Just have the courage to surrender your thoughts. Can you feel another presence sitting in your chair? I can. Can you feel yourself sitting in 10,000 chairs at the same time? I think you'll find a way to do that. Are you the self in Africa that looks at you in such a way that you wonder if they are welcoming you? Are you that same self that is repulsing you somewhere else? Think about it. Is there another? Anywhere? Is God one? See how far we've come away from our reality. Your Christ mind sees itself everywhere. There is never a pilot in the Christ mind. There is never a Roman Empire in the Christ mind. There's nobody to drop a missile in the Christ mind. And the Christ mind is the power. All that is required is the awareness of that mind in you. The one you fear is the same self. Invisible. You can catch that at this moment, and you can forget it 10 moments later, but you can go back to it. You can strengthen that awareness. It can become bone of your bone. You can learn that there is one inhabitant in God's universe, Each of us must be that one. God is one. Is there another beside God? I know not any, said Isaiah. And at the tip of his consciousness, this was the mind of Christ Jesus. Took a lot of training, didn't it? But it was to prove that this is the mind of man, the real mind of man. Be perfect. Be ye infinite. You can't straddle that gap in a second. You can't make that vast jump. But you'll find that when you make the jump, when you understand it, when you feel it, it's because you're not in the human mind. That's why you feel it. In the human mind, you're back into separated bodies. In the Christ mind, you're in the One. In the Christ mind, we don't have a gap in the ozone. Let's try to see that. In fact, let's unsee it. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with a world belief. There is a gap in the ozone. Contamination from the earth has caused a gap. And we are unprotected against the rays that come through that gap. And what we're saying is, God is asleep. Obviously, God knows nothing about it because God doesn't seem to be doing a thing about it. So we earthlings will correct God's mistake. And that's the human mind. The unomniscient human mind. When we had a mirage on the desert, did we stop? Did we pump the water off? Did we get shovels and buckets? We drove through. What about the ozone gap? Are we going to plug it up with something? Are we going to stop contaminating? Or are we going to see the mirage with the mind of God? Let's try. What's your first principle? Spirit is omnipresent. Right where there's an ozone gap, Spirit is. Did you accept the first principle? If you did, you have Spirit where the world is talking about a gap. There's no gap in Spirit. Spirit is one. Spirit is the seamless robe of oneness. The whole teaching of the Infinite Way is a realization of oneness without a gap. So then in our human mind, we have a gap. If we're in the Christ mind, we realize a gap is impossible. Because Spirit is omnipresent, Spirit is seamless, Spirit is undivided. And if we're wavering as to which we're going to believe, we must wait until the truth is realized. You can't force it. You can't say, I'm going to believe this instead of that. It must come as an inner realization to carry the conviction with it, the permanent conviction. There's no gap in spirit. You'll agree with that. And if you think there's a gap in the ozone, then you're saying spirit is not there. And if you're saying that, you have a problem. More than a gap in the ozone. Let's proceed with our second principle. The perfection of spirit is also omnipresent. There's nothing perfect about a gap that permits human beings to be subject to rays from outside the stratosphere of the earth. If the principle is true, and if we can accept it, we have spirit, which is perfect, where the world has a gap. And if we go into our third principle, wherever spirit is, the perfection of spirit is, and the power of spirit is. Now, the power of spirit is to maintain itself, ever perfect. Christ was the living spirit of God. He could not be destroyed. Eternal life is the life of God and cannot be destroyed. Spirit is the substance of God and cannot be destroyed. Spirit is all and has no opposite. We're worrying about an opposite, aren't we? We're accepting an opposite. We're living in a divided universe. Spirit and a gap in the ozone. Spirit and the ozone. Where's the gap? In the world mind. Spirit has no air, fire, earth. Spirit has one substance, spirit. The world mind divides that one substance into metals. Into all the chemical elements. That's a matter of convenience. It's not a matter of truth.